And tonight we have the big privilege and pleasure to have a speaker coming out to us from Chatham, New Jersey. I'd like to give a warm midnight welcome to Jim.
My name's Jim. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 19th, 1987. My home group's a sponsorship group. We meet Sunday night in Chatham, New Jersey at 8:30. It's an active meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a meeting that I like to call home. I'm an alcoholic, and if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, that doesn't mean I drank every day, drank in the morning, or drank by myself, although I enjoyed doing those things. What it means is that my body has a special reaction to alcohol that doesn't happen for everybody. When I take a couple drinks, you guys shape up. I can do things, I can say things, I can participate in life in a way that is absolutely marvelous. And what happens also is that when I take a drink, the drink takes a drink. And I experience what they call the phenomenon of craving, where all bets are off. It's like opening Pandora's box. It's like lighting the fuse. And, you know, sometimes it's a dud, and I just don't know what the hell's going to happen. It's very unpredictable when I drink. It usually gets to the point where I'm the only one enjoying my drinking. And I get to a point where people gang up on me because of my drinking. They become very narrow-minded. They remind me when I'm feeling pretty sick of what I did the night before. The police make regular appearances in my life. I have quite a bit of conflict. I don't pay attention to ownership or other sort of common law understandings. I don't know much about fidelity, whether she's mine or yours. When I'm drinking, I'm an asshole. Okay, I really am an asshole. But if you understood what it was like for me to live sober, you'd understand. Okay, because it's very difficult. I have this secret loneliness words will never be able to adequately describe. I have a habit of auditioning for every person in my life, where my life's an endless series of auditions. I get to know you. I'm not going to let you know who I am, but I'm going to sort of try to understand what you're looking for, what you're about, what your education's like, what your humor's like, where you live, a little bit about your income. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to present a character to you to impress, hopefully to impress you, to either get something from you or to get you to like me enough where I'm hoping that I can create the right impression or an impression in such a way that you're going to like me enough that I won't feel so goddamn alone. I have this spiritual malady, this broken spirit where I'm the loneliest person on the planet. I don't feel okay in my own skin. We could all have just met. Say there's 50 people in this room, 50 different states. No one ever got to know each other. We sit down in unison. I watch you for maybe 20 minutes. It seems like you guys had secret meetings. Because I can't do that. I can't get along. I don't know how to communicate. I have... my sponsor thinks I'm oversensitive. I think I have a keen intellect. I think I have the ability to observe things that my sponsor doesn't really understand. Because we'll have a conversation, I'll go, you know what she did? And he'll go, whoa, just tell me what happened. And I'll start explaining it, and no, he'll go, what did she say? And I'm like, it's not all that relevant. It's how she said it in the context of what she said and what she meant by what she said. Okay, because I have a way of interpreting facial expressions. Okay, I mean, I could be telling my story. Some guy gets up and walks out the door. I'm thinking, son of a bitch. I remember 2 years ago, I was sharing over there. He gave me a weird look, and he got up then too. He could have diarrhea. He could be taking a phone call. He could be an ER doctor. He could be, I have no idea what the hell's going on. But I interpret things in a way that is quite uncommon. And I'm plagued with thinking. Okay, I think a lot. I don't stop thinking, ever. I think about stuff that people don't ever think about. And I think about it for a very, very long time and very intensely. And it's usually not good. And I recognize conspiracies. That my sponsor, maybe he's not that bright. Okay? Maybe he just doesn't quite understand what they're doing to me. Okay? And when I drink, all that goes away. When I drink, I'm like, I don't give a damn what you think. I don't care what you say. I'm very forgiving. You know, what happens is I can look at a girl, and I'm thinking, she doesn't like me. I'm thinking, I smell. You know, she's judging me. She knows something about me. Maybe she heard something about me. I can't even approach. I can't make the move. I can't approach. I can't talk. I can't. You know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to her and what she's going to say to what I'm going to say. And I'm thinking about how she is going to, like, turn me down. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to inflict as much emotional pain on her as possible. Okay, because I don't go down alone. Right? So I don't even make a move. You know what I mean? But I have a couple of drinks and I look at her and I'm thinking, what a nice girl. And I look at that hungry look in her eyes. I'm thinking, she wants me. I think I'm going to do her a favor. And if she doesn't want me, fine, I'll just go without. I don't care. I mean, my standards are... my loneliness is so severe that my standards are very low when no one's watching. I've got to taper that with what you might think of who I'm with. Okay? I discovered when I was 16 years old what alcohol could do for me. And it was freaking amazing. Okay, it was amazing. This kid, Mark, calls me up and he goes, Jimmy, I got a case of Budweiser and some girls. Now, I was 16 years old, been trying to get married since I was 5. And I'm thinking about Amy. Amy sat next to me in homeroom. Every day I look over at Amy and I'm like, Amy, I fucking love you. I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, I wanted to. Okay? I always looked at her, I was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. It's going to be her and I. Why would God put us next to each other? You know, and it was 2 years and I hadn't made a move. And I'm thinking, I saw Mark talk to her one time. I think she's going to be there tonight. I'm excited. Yes, of course. He could have said, he could have said, I got my dad's shotgun and some girls. And I would have gone. You know, if you bring a girl, I'll go with that. You know, I just don't want to miss it. You know, I don't know what I'm going to miss. I don't want to miss it. You know, and car shows up, and I'm just fantasizing about the hottest girls in our school. And the back door of the car opens up. I'm running down the car. This girl hops out. I take one look at her, and I'm thinking, get back in the car before the neighbors see you. And I'm thinking, geez, where's Amy? I look in the back seat, and this girl's ugly sister's in the middle. I'm like, oh, no way. And she goes, hey, hop in the middle. And she was a little bigger than me. I didn't think it was open for discussion. I hop in, she's on one side, I'm on the other side, I'm like, oh no. We start driving, I'm thinking, I'll make my move. Okay, I look at her, she's got pretty eyes, I can stick to the eyes. I'll talk to the eyes, okay, I'm going to go for it. I start trying to talk to her, I'm crapping out, I'm like stuttering, I was like, I can't even do it with her. I can't talk, what is wrong with me? Why am I so pathetic and broken? Why can't I connect? I got to get out of here. You know, maybe we'll hit a tree, I'll go through the windshield. You know, just get the hell out of here. I can't believe this. And then somebody said, hey, you want a beer? Budweiser. I was like, hey, whatever. I mean, okay, sure. So, you know, I get it. I open it, start sipping. It's a little skunky because it'd been in the bushes for a couple days. But I'm sipping it down. I was like, oh, this is gross. Ugh. And I finally finished a can, which is like it phenomenal. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I finished it. I was so happy I finished it. I couldn't believe it. Crush the can. I throw it on the floor. And someone goes, oh, have another one. I'm thinking, I should have kept the damn can. I don't want to drink any more of this. And that night, you could have diagnosed me as alcoholic. My very first night drunk, you could have diagnosed me. Because what happened to me does not happen to other people. Not other, I mean, maybe you guys. The guys out there? No. Okay. I don't know if it's the second, the third, the fourth beer, but what happens? I'm drinking. I look over. This girl lost 15 pounds. I was like, God damn. I said something. I didn't think about what I was going to say, what she was saying. I just said it. I was like, fuck. And I was like, Don Juan. You know, she laughed. Now, if you know anything about me and the way I'm trying to communicate with girls, I try a lot. I put a lot of effort into every syllable, and you can tell. Okay, because you know something's wrong with me. You're like, what the fuck? Calm down. You know, it's so goddamn intense. I'm like, you know, and I'm just smooth that night. I had a couple of drinks. I'm like, ah, oh, she's laughing. She says something. I'm laughing. We're having a conversation. That's a home run for a guy who can't talk, right? But I keep drinking because once I wet my whistle, once Pandora's box opens, I have no idea what's going to happen. See, I'm an alcoholic. That phenomenal craving is so powerful. I do not care. It doesn't matter what's scheduled for tonight, tomorrow, the next day, all bets are off. Once alcohol in any form is in my system, whether it's rubbing alcohol, vanilla extract, or a wine cooler, or Jack Daniel's, it doesn't matter. Once they put alcohol in me, all bets are off. It has a grip on my soul. It has a grip on me that is so extremely powerful, I cannot shake it. I don't care what I think. I don't care what's important to me. Because when I put alcohol in my system, it's no longer important. A friend of mine said, you know, the grip that alcohol has on the alcoholic, once he consumes it, it's like having sex with a gorilla. You're done when the gorilla's done. Yeah, I cannot shake it loose. You know, because I start drinking, Next thing you know, this girl and I were making out. And I'm thinking, Budweiser, the king of beers. This is fantastic. This is great. But I keep drinking. Next thing you know, I'm making out with her sister. Now, she's all pissed off like we're engaged. I'm like, what? You don't like your sister? There's plenty to go around. Right? That night I hit my first bottom. Okay? Face down, gravel parking lot, cinders on my tongue, rocks in my face, rocks in my chest. One of these girls is stepping on my back. Because apparently I said something. I'm like, what? She never heard of electrolysis? never heard of Jenny Craig? You know, I don't know what I said. Okay, but again, when I'm drinking, I'm the only one enjoying my drinking. You know? Laying in a parking lot is a small price to pay for a guy like me to join the human race, to be able to talk, to kiss girls. Come on, that's living. I mean, I discovered it. I discovered what alcohol could do for me, and my life came together. See, before I drank, I could not do a book report. I had not kissed a girl. Forget about sex with somebody else. Okay, forget about any, I believe me, my life was going nowhere. Okay, I was like a hermit. I could not communicate. I can't talk. I can't, you know, I fight. I'm a wise ass. I'm a class clown, but I cannot connect. I can't do it. I start drinking within 2.5 years or so. Okay, I dated 4 homecoming queens. Okay, God damn. Alcohol works. Okay? I got a job on Wall Street. Okay? I'm like making more on Wall Street in a month than my dad's making in a year. You can't tell me alcohol doesn't work. It works for me. Well, alcohol does something for me that's absolutely marvelous. Short term, I mean, it gets out of control. Okay? It does get out of control. I mean, the first night, first bottom, parking lot, small price to pay. Fast forward in my drinking, one bad night, 50 foot of guardrail, a telephone pole, and 2 of my buddies in surgery. The first accident is the worst. Okay? I mean, it's devastating. See your friends banged up, you know what I mean? I mean, it gets to a point where, you know, I'm wrecking cars. I'm in car wreck. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not as bad the second wreck, the third wreck, you know what I mean? It gets to a point where I remember vaguely hitting something. I think it was a tree. And, like, my friend is, like, complaining, he's banged up. And I'm like, dude, did you notice when you got in the car? One headlight was pointed toward the street, the other toward the trees, piece of mailbox in the grill, the tires are bald, the front plate doesn't match the back plate, I'm freaking half in the bag, you got in the car, buyer beware. Okay, all right. You can tell. This car hits shit, okay? This is not... This should be no surprise that we hit something, okay? Okay, look at every side of the car is banged in, you know? And I keep drinking. First time I get evicted, devastating. First time I do anything, I'm alcoholic. Bottom is just something I've yet to get used to. First time I get evicted, I'm devastated, humiliated, oh my God. Second time you get evicted, it's a little bit easier. You know, and then it fast forward, it's me and some hefties, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah, in the middle of the night, you know, just the night before the sheriff gets there. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when I'm signing the lease, I got a new spot, I'm moving in, everything's gone. I'm thinking, okay, month and a half security, first month's rent, took them 2 months, actually it took them 5 months to throw me out. It's 2.5 months, 5 months, it doubled my money by not paying the rent. All right? And I drink, you know, every once in a while I have the rent, but I'm thinking, you know, I get a bag, I can sell that a little bit, I'll cut it, you know, okay, I'm back in business. Yeah, I wake up with a bloody fucking nose, it broke again, okay, and my life's crapping out, and I go through that dozens of times. You know, I get drunk, you know, we buy some drugs, we get beat on the street, the next night we're drunk, we're like, oh, let's go rob drug dealers. I mean, that's not, normal people don't do that, you know, and I'm paying, you know, the consequences for what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Fast forward, you know, I'm working on Wall Street, I'm making money, I'm doing okay, but I'm crapping up, you know what I mean? I'm getting jammed up. You know what I mean? My boss is accusing me of embezzlement. Okay, I tell him it's a loan. You know, I paid him back, so it was. I was right. You know, and you know, just I'm getting in jams, out of jams, in jams, out of jams, in jams, and it gets to a point where I can't stop drinking. I can't stop drinking. I can't get my head out of my ass. I can't get it together one more time. You know, and what happens is I end up in rehab. You know, I had been to AA. You know, everybody's been to AA. But I'm not ready to get sober when I go to AA. 1985, I went to my first AA meeting. There's this old guy. He's telling his story. He says, I drank for 30 years. I had only drank for 9. I'm not getting screwed out of my other 21 years. There's no way. I'm here way too early. I'm getting the hell out of here. This guy's sharing about he had a wife and family and a house and boat. And he had all this shit. I'm like, when I get that stuff, okay, I'll stop, okay? Because the alcohol is letting me live. Alcohol helps me function. I'm figuring I'm going to get enough stuff out of life, okay, and then I'll stop drinking and I'll just try to hold on to what I, you know, this guy's talking about getting married. Okay. I can't even get a girlfriend. I mean, I can't get past the point in the relationship where she doesn't leave when I wet the bed. Okay. I mean, I get her home from the bar, okay, but hey, she wakes up wet and she's leaving. You know what I mean? And my life's crapping out and it's crapping out and it's crapping out. And I end up in rehab, 1987, and this guy comes in from AA, and he said he had 3 years sober. Now, 3 years, that seemed like he was getting carried away. I mean, he was younger than I was. 3 years seems like a long time to suffer. I mean, I can understand, you go to AA, right? This is the place, you know, you have too much fun out there, you come here and you pay it back. You know what I mean? I thought, okay, coming to AA is like taking your dog to get neutered. It's like, I hope you had a good run, Fido, because the fun's over now. Okay? I figured, you go out there, just have all the fun, then we're getting sentenced. Okay? You know, everybody knows you go to AA, you're going to live longer, but it's going to seem like twice as long. You know? I was like, fuck, you know? Okay, you know? This guy, what he said he was sober for 3 years. He seemed like he was doing pretty well. He seemed happy, which seemed like a contradiction. How could he be sober and happy? And he said, you know, 3 years ago I got down on my knees and I said a prayer to a God I didn't believe in. I was fascinated. I mean, I knew you guys were talking about God, you know, but he said you didn't have to believe. Now, if I can say a prayer and I don't have to, I don't mind doing that. Okay, I lie about everything anyway. I don't want to believe in God. You tell me you need a higher power. I'm not interested in that. I'm an atheist. You know, I'm coming to AA. I'm an atheist. Okay, but if I can have a shot at staying sober by just saying a damn prayer to something I don't believe in anyway, who cares? Okay, next morning I was down on my knees and I said a prayer to a God I didn't believe in. From that day to this day, 23 and a half years later, I have not picked up a drink. There might be a connection. That was the first direction I followed, not of my own making. If I want to stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, I need me, not you, me. I need to take action that I have not taken before. If my action that I'm willing to take is limited by my understanding and beliefs, I will not get sober. Because, come on, everybody new in AA knows. Okay, you're going to talk to these people, you're going to tell them what's going on, you're going to share things with these strangers where the statute of limitations hasn't passed? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, you're going to pay back people that don't even know you robbed them? Okay, why would you, you know, you're going to pray to God you don't believe? I mean, this is like very hypocritical. Okay, but if I don't have to believe, I'm willing to do it. Okay, fine. I got out of rehab. I followed my second direction. They said, go to a meeting, put your hand up, and tell them you're just out of rehab, you need rides to meetings. I'm thinking, that's a bad idea. It was December 1987, it was 10 degrees. I had no ride home. Okay, my parents lived 2 miles from there, and I didn't want to walk. That's the only reason I followed direction. I put up my hand, I asked for rides. I go outside, determining who I'm going to ride home with, I figured I'd have a selection. They would line up, and I would pick the most appropriate person to get a ride from. I stand outside, some lady walks by, looks at me, she clutches her pocketbook and runs off. I was like, you little bitch. You know? Some guy walks by me, ignoring me. I'm thinking, AA, what a bunch of hypocrites. I hate you people. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to come to your meeting. I'm going to come early. I'm going to put about 100 hits of acid in the coffee pot. Okay? And we're going to have a good goddamn meeting. You know? And I'm thinking, if I go early, I'm going to have to talk to somebody. I'll come late. When you're all in the meeting, I'll be outside slashing your tires. After the meeting, we can all walk home together. All right? And then some guy fouled it up. He offered me a ride home. I was like, okay, fine. I end up at the diner with him and some other guys. They're laughing. They're talking about things they had done. I'm laughing by the end of the night. I'm not going to tell them anything about me. Okay? Guy drops me off. He goes, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 7. I'm thinking, how does he know I don't have plans? I was in good shape, though. I had no plan. I had nothing. You know, if you come into AA and your social calendar is wide open, okay, you're in the right place. This is a good spot for you. If you come into AA and you've got like a wedding on Thursday and just wait till that stuff's done. Just keep drinking. Your calendar will clear. Oh, it'll be wide open. Okay? So what happens is, guy picks me up. I'm like, where are we going? He goes, what do you care? You get nothing. I'm like, oh, fuck it. You know? Takes me to a meeting, sits me up front, sits next to me. The secretary goes, any newcomers? He goes to me, that's you. Put your hand up. I'm like, I got it. Just leave me alone. Right? Secretary goes, no newcomers? He elbows me. I was like, ow, fucker. Secretary goes, yes. And I was like, oh, shit. Jim Alcohol, I just got rehab, 28 days sober. All of a sudden, there's a thunderous applause. Oh, now I could deal with that. I mean, I felt like a rock star. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, hey, I'm here. I don't mind if you treat me like every day is my birthday. Okay? If you could ignore everybody else, we'll be okay. Now, what I'm here to tell you is that I don't know if that's ever going to change. I mean, I went to a wedding not too long ago. This couple from our group got married. They both got sober in our group. They had a little baby. Of course, it was an AA wedding, so they had the baby before the wedding. Okay? Okay. I'm in the wedding. I'm like looking at this tuxedo. I'm going, fucking good. Look at me. Somebody I see, oh, Jim, I haven't seen you in years. You look great. I'm thinking, yeah, I do. Then the bride comes in. He looks over at her. I'm thinking, what about me? Come, get back here. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the bride. I'm thinking, you whore. Okay? Let's get back to the main course here. Okay, because I'm okay if you give me all the attention. But don't, you know, if you give me all the attention, treat me every day like it's my birthday, I feel average. But the day you treat me average, I feel abused. I feel neglected. You know, if I come in and you don't say, hey, Jim, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm like, I'm over here. What are you talking to him for? I really do feel neglected. You know? So I'm going to these meetings, right? The next day I put my hand up, oh, 29 days there. Everyone's like, all right, right. And that does really well for a while until some kid, Billy, gets out of rehab. He beat me to the draw, put his hand up, Billy, 17 days sober. Everyone's clapping for him. I go to the guy next to me, I go, I don't even think he's an alcoholic. Let's get back to me, right? I'm going to meetings, and meetings are great. If you're new, okay, this is what I experienced when I was new. I wake up in the morning, it feels like I'm in oncoming traffic. I wake up, I'm going, fucking IRS. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I got mail, I got a warrant here, I got a warrant here. Jeez, I got a warrant from that town. I've never even been to fucking Maplewood, okay? I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm thinking this, and I'm thinking, oh, my shit, I hope I don't have fucking AIDS. Oh, my God, I'm fucking... I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did I do? I'm thinking about people I owe money to, and I haven't even gotten out of bed. Like, my eyes are not even open. I'm like, fucking, like, you're going to drop me in this fucking turnpike. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't handle my head. And that's just the beginning of the day. Now I go, like, another 8, 9, 10 hours. And then I get into an AA meeting. And somebody's talking and talking. And finally, halfway through the meeting, somebody says something totally inappropriate. I'm going, ha, ha, ha. And I took my first full breath of the day. I'm like, oh, my God, thank God for AA. Oh. And I'm feeling good. AA saved my life. Oh. But then, you know, like a couple of days later, I go to another meeting. Some lady's sharing about her goddamn cat. She goes, my cat's sick. I'm like, is your cat an alcoholic? She goes, I think my cat's going to die. I'm like, I'm going to kill your fucking cat. Okay? I hate you. I get some guy, he's sharing, oh, I don't think I was breastfed. I was like, are you kidding me? Was this recent? Okay, who gives a shit? I don't want to hear about your shit. Let's talk about the IRS. Let's talk about warrants. Let's talk about everybody hating you. You know, I'm not getting enough. What I discovered in Alcoholics Anonymous, me going to meetings, okay, and sharing, me going to AA and not working steps is like me going to a bar and not drinking. I mean, you might get lucky. You might find a drunk girl. Okay, but it's not enough. It's not enough to keep my attention here. You're not going to keep me here. If you can't give me a better buzz than Jack Daniels, I'm leaving. You can't give me a better buzz than speedballs or dope or Xanax or anything I can get on the street. You got to give me a better buzz than Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to, or I'm not playing. Okay, I'm not, my lifetime here, I could not stay sober my first year unless I tapped into the buzz. And how I tapped into the buzz was not through therapy, okay, it was through sponsorship. I had a guy who sat me down and started telling me his story. He didn't ask me questions. How are you feeling? No, because when you're asking me questions, I'll give you a little bit of the information, but when you give me a weird look, the end of my story is going to change. Because the truth doesn't fucking matter to me. I care about what you're thinking about me. I think you're thinking about me as much as I'm thinking about me. Okay? It's very important. Okay? And what happens is he starts telling me a story. He goes, oh, a lot of drinking in New York, because you know I was working on Wall Street. Oh, yeah. He said, must be tough getting sober working in New York. I go, oh, you have no idea. He goes, I got sober in New York. I said, what? I how could anybody get sober in New York? He said, one night I was out drinking with this guy. We were shit-faced in the back of this cab. Next thing you know, another cab comes around the corner, smashes into our cab. I'm like, yeah, so? He goes, while the drivers got out, they were arguing back and forth. He said, I got tired of waiting. I jumped up front and took the cab. I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. Okay? I mean, if he told me he was doing really well, never, you know, like, never got, like, a C, you know what I mean? Never had a felony, nothing. I would have gotten the hell out of there, okay, because I would have felt like he was going to judge me, so. He told me he stole a cab in New York, and I sat down in his couch, and I just eased. I was like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm at home. He said, next thing you know, we're in the tombs. I go, this guy? In the, holy shit, that's very odd. And he goes, yeah, but it was kind of odd. I was like, why is that? He said, there was a woman on each side. And he was shackled. And I was like, wait a minute, they separated. He goes, well, let me tell you. I looked down, they had really big hands. Looked up, and they had Adam's apples. I was like, ah. You know, and I started telling him a story. And I said, well, that's nothing. I was down in my Washington Square Park drinking a little bit of Jack Daniels one night. Next you know, I'm chasing this transvestite around the park with a hatchet. Now, that's not something I can go to therapy and talk about. They always want to know what led up to the chase.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to talk about it. I just wanted my money back. All right. But you can't bring that to therapy. He told me the sexual escapade that would have scared Jeffrey Dahmer. I was like, this guy's a freak. So I told him that I picked up some guy hitchhiking, and we decided to keep him. Now, people were calling that kidnapping. He wasn't a minor. He wasn't a kid. We let him go. There's no ransom. It's not really kidnapping, you know. But you can't bring that to therapy either. And he told me another one, I told him another one. And in about an hour and a half, this guy knew more about me than 20 years of therapists combined. I looked up from his shoes, and I knew he had blue eyes. I never knew he had blue eyes. I looked at him, he had blue eyes. I said, holy shit. You know? I was different. What he did was he demonstrated a very simple principle. You bring a baby into a room full of people, and the demeanor of everybody changes. Why? Because there's no malice. Baby's not going to judge anybody. The biggest, toughest guy's going, oh, 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 look at you, yeah. Because there's nothing to be afraid of. You can be real. You can be vulnerable. You can be... There's nothing to be afraid of. And by telling me who he was, okay, not holding back, just he laid down his armor and it made it safe for me to be real for the first time I could ever remember. And I tapped into the buzz in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he goes, you know, you're doing more for me than I'm doing for you. And I didn't get it until I was sitting on the other side of the table. I was sitting across the table from this one guy, and I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I'm qualified to help anybody. My sponsor says, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, God uses the willing. He doesn't use the qualified. He said, look at the moon. The moon is not qualified to light up the night sky. It's at the right place, the right time. The source of the power is the sun. It's so magnificent it could use even the moon to illuminate the night sky. He said, just think what God could do for you. I'm like... So I'm looking in this psych unit, and this guy's he's bandaged both wrists, cast like this, because he cut his arm, you know, wrist down to the bone, okay? And I go and I start telling him my story. I tell him this, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I asked for God's guidance, and this is what came out. I said, you know, I remember I was, you know, living in behind my girlfriend's parents' furnace in their basement, sneaking in and out at night, and she let me drive her car, and next thing you know, I totaled it, and before the cops came, I told her I didn't have a driver's license, but at least I could do. She ends up getting a new car a couple weeks later, because the insurance, she doesn't even thank me for the car, because I got her a new car. And I had light blue velour seats, and she won't let me drive. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I disappeared for a couple days, and I had a little gas, but I looked back, and I shit my pants. I don't know why I told the story. But all I hear from this guy that was catatonic, I'm talking he hadn't said anything after shock treatment, after group therapy, after every kind of medication for like 7 days, all I hear is, ha, 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 I did that. And I look at these sweatpants he'd been wearing for like a month, I'm thinking, yeah, like 15 minutes ago. And he starts telling me a story a little bit, I'm laughing, I tell him more, he's laughing. I left there, he had a smile ear to ear, and he was laughing. Man, I could see just God go into him. I'm talking my God, not your God. Okay, in AA, we have a religion of one, and we're not looking for converts. What I believe, when I say God, I'm just pretending like you know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay? You don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? This power in my life, it's like Jack Daniels. When I drink, I tap into a power that can make me Superman. It makes me feel fucking awesome. When I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, I work the steps and I try to help somebody else. I get this power that comes into me. It makes me feel fucking awesome. Like Superman. It makes me feel great. Now, you can call that God if it works for you. You can call it whatever you want. I don't really care. Okay, I know I got something going. I have no idea what it is. Okay, I don't see it in church. Some people do. I don't go to church. I go to church. I go in the basement. Okay, I'm not religious. You know, I believe that there's some powers in this universe that I can tap into that'll make me feel awesome all the fucking time so long as I stay in action. Recovery's in my feet. It's not in my head. It's not in my reading. It's not. It's in what I'm doing for recovery. Okay, that's it. I got to be honest. I got to be fucking as painfully real as I can be. Okay? And I got to be active. I got to just do this shit all the fucking time. Okay? When I fall asleep in AA, I get crazy. Yeah, I fell asleep at 9 years. I got indicted. Okay? Serious. That's what happens. I'm an alcoholic. I fall asleep, I get married and divorced. I fall asleep, I get married and divorced again. I fall asleep and I go bankrupt. I'm a fucking alcoholic. Okay? When I stop drinking, if I'm not taking constant spiritual action, I get fucking crazy. I get dangerous. I'm not a well-balanced individual. I hope I've made that obvious. Okay? To you and to me. Okay? And I went over a little bit. Sorry about that. Do what you gotta do, Lenny. Thanks.